Welcome to the Wednesday evening sermon from Redeemed in Faith Reformed Church. Each week in this midweek broadcast, we share a focused message from God's Word to encourage your faith, strengthen your walk with Christ, and help you grow in the knowledge of the truth. Whether you're joining us from near or far, we're glad you're here. Let's open the scriptures together.
Well, good evening, and welcome back to our Wednesday evening service. This is the 27th of August, 2025. May the grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord be with you always. Our theme tonight is the folly of a boastful Christian. Now, last week in our message, The God Who Speaks, I touched briefly on the importance of not merely reading scripture out of religious habit and how information without transformation breeds pride, but only through dwelling on scripture and allowing it to sink into our hearts does it transform us and make us more Christ-like. And tonight, we're going to be exploring deeper the problem of pride and being boastful. We'll be focusing on Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, which reads, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glorifies God in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Beloved, I asked you tonight what the greatest danger in Christian life is. What would you say? Some might answer the temptations of the world, things like lust, greed, covetousness. Others might point to the attacks of Satan, who prowls around like a roaring lion, and those are indeed dangerous. But Scripture warns us of another danger, one that slips in quietly. It's unnoticed, like a serpent through the grass. It doesn't look threatening at first. In fact, it often looks respectable, even religious. And that danger is pride. The Lord says here in Jeremiah, don't glory in wisdom, don't glory in might, don't glory in riches. In other words, don't boast in yourself. But why? Because the moment you do, you're taking credit for what only God can give. And let's be honest, pride is not just out there in the world. It's right here. It's in the pew. It's in the pulpit. And it's in our own hearts. It's easy to look down on others and to measure our Christianity by our Bible reading or our church attendance or our good works. But here's the danger. Those who boast most loudly of being good Christians are often those most desperately need in God's healing grace. Think of Jesus's parable in Luke 18. The Pharisee walked into the temple, chest out, head high, and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." What a prayer. From his lips poured nothing but pride. He thought he was boasting to God, but really, he was boasting before men. And then came the tax collector. He stood far off, couldn't even lift his eyes, and beat his chest saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "This man went home justified rather than the other." The man with no boast but God's mercy found forgiveness, while the man with a long list of spiritual credentials found nothing. That's what we need to see tonight. The danger of boasting in our Christianity. The call to humility. The reminder that all our glory, all our hope, all our identity must be found in Christ alone. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at the danger of boastfulness and why pride is deadly. We'll see the witness of true humility, how Christ and His Spirit shape us. And then we'll hear a call to repentance, to lay down our boasting and cling to the cross. My prayer is that this word convicts us where we've been proud, that it humbles us before God, and that it invites us all, especially those who have drifted, back to the Word of God and the grace of Christ. Pride is the oldest sin in the universe. Before Adam ever reached for the forbidden fruit, pride had already slithered its way into creation. Isaiah 14 shows us the fall of Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. That I will spirit is the essence of pride. It is a man, or in this case an angel, placing himself at the center instead of God. And boasting is simply pride with a megaphone. Pride in the heart will eventually show itself on the tongue. Paul warns us in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, that among the marks of the ungodly are that they are boasters. To boast in self is to dethrone God and enthrone man. But, beloved, the danger is this. The moment we begin to boast in ourselves, even in our Christian lives, we are siding with the spirit of Lucifer and not with the spirit of Christ. Boasting is dangerous because it blinds us. Pride is like spiritual cataracts, slowly clouding our vision until we can no longer see clearly. Jesus' parable in Luke 18 makes this painfully clear. The Pharisee stood in the temple listing his religious resume before God. He wasn't praying, he was bragging in God's presence. He thought he was righteous, but his boasting blinded him to his true condition. Meanwhile, the tax collector, broken, ashamed, he simply cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus declared that the tax collector, not the Pharisee, went home justified. So here's the point. Boasting convinces us that we're well when we're actually sick, that we're rich when we're actually poor, and that we're standing tall when we're actually sinking. Scripture leaves no room for misunderstanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 31 continues, "He who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord." The Bible doesn't just discourage boasting, it forbids it. Because boasting robs God of his glory and gives it to ourselves. Boasting says, "Look at what I've done." But grace, Grace says, look at what Christ has done. Imagine a man who fills his house with trophies, medals, ribbons, plaques, all celebrating how great he is. Every visitor must stop and admire his case of glory. Now imagine walking into the throne room of God and trying to set up your little trophy case of Christian achievements. What a foolish sight. The cross towers above every human effort, every supposed righteousness. The trophies of man look like cheap plastic compared to the priceless blood of Christ. This is why Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8, that all his credentials, his Hebrew heritage, his Pharisee training, his zeal, he counted as loss, even as rubbish, compared to knowing Christ. There's another danger. Boasting not only blinds us to our own sin, it also tempts us to hide our flaws and put on a show. Boasting breeds hypocrisy. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for this in Matthew chapter 23. They loved the greetings in the marketplace, the chief seats at the synagogue, the appearance of holiness. But inwardly, he said they were whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside, but full of death on the inside. I tell you now, a boasting Christian is often a pretending Christian. The louder that we talk about our goodness, the more we may be covering up our emptiness. So do you see the danger here? Boasting is not a small slip of the tongue. It's a declaration of independence from God. It blinds us. It contradicts His word. It breeds hypocrisy. And it steals the glory that belongs to God alone. If boasting is the disease, what then is the cure? It is the witness of true humility. And for that, we must turn our eyes to Christ. You see, if pride is the great sin, then humility is the great cure. And there is no clearer picture of humility than Jesus Christ Himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now I want you to think about that. The eternal Son of God, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, the one before whom angels veil their faces, humbled himself, not just to walk among us, but to suffer as a servant, and not just to suffer, but to die, and not just to die, but to die the cursed death of the cross. If Jesus, who had every right to boast, chose instead the way of humility, how dare we, weak, sinful creatures, strut around as if we have anything to glory in? You see, the life of a Christian is marked by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now notice what's missing here. There's no mention of arrogance, self-congratulation, boastfulness. Those are not marks of the Spirit. They're marks of the flesh. When the Spirit of God truly dwells in a person, he does not puff up. Rather, he brings low to the foot of the cross. The closer you walk with God, the smaller you become in your own eyes. The greater you see his glory, the more aware you become of your own need. That is the paradox of the Christian life. True growth produces not arrogance, but humility. Now, pride doesn't just damage individual believers. No, it can poison an entire church. A boastful church looks like a religious club, a place for good people to pat each other on the back. The world looks in and sees nothing but hypocrisy and self-righteousness. But a humble church, one that confesses sin, one that clings to grace, and one that exalts Christ alone, that church shines like a light in the darkness. Think of a lighthouse. Its purpose is not to call attention to itself, but to shine light outward to guide ships to safety. If a lighthouse boasted in its own strength and forgot to keep the lamp burning, it would doom the very ships that it was built to save. In the same way, when a church boasts in itself about its programs, its people, its piety, the light goes out. But when a church humbles itself, boasting only in Christ, its light shines brighter, and the lost are drawn to the Savior. Another mark of humility is unity. Pride always divides because it says, I'm better than you. But humility unites because it says, I'm nothing without Christ, and neither are you. Let's cling to him together. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You see, pride tears churches apart, while humility holds them together. Pride breeds competition, while humility breeds compassion. Pride says, look at me, while humility says, look at Christ. So do you see the witness of humility? It is Christ himself. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the light of the church and the bond of unity. And now, having seen the danger of boasting and the beauty of humility, we must hear the call. God does not merely warn us about pride or show us the example of humility. He calls us to repentance. If you've been hearing this and the Spirit has pricked your conscience, if you realize there has been boasting in your heart, boasting in your prayers, or boasting in your church attendance and your Bible knowledge, then the word of God is clear. You must repent. Isaiah 64 verse 6 reminds us all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Not our sins are filthy rags. Our righteousnesses, our best works, our finest prayers, our most noble deeds, all of it, apart from Christ, is unclean before the holy God. So what do we do with our boasting? We bring it to the cross. Because the cross is the great leveler. It strips away all of our pride. It leaves us no room to boast, no stage on which to strut, no crown to wear. It only leaves us a Savior to worship. You've heard it said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The rich and the poor, the educated and the unlearned, the seasoned Christian and the new believer, all must kneel at the same place with empty hands, saying, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." So if you've been boasting, lay it down tonight. Confess it to the Lord. And glory in nothing but Christ. But maybe tonight you're not the boastful Pharisee. Maybe you're the tax collector. You're the one who feels unworthy. You're the one who says, "I don't have anything to boast of because I've failed. I've stumbled. My Christian life is weak." Hear me. That awareness of weakness is not your disqualification. It is your qualification for grace. Jesus said in Mark 2, verse 17, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Your brokenness is the very place God loves to pour his mercy. He does not despise a contrite heart. So if you feel like you have no boast tonight, then glory in this, that you know him and that he knows you and that he delights to show mercy to sinners. Finally, this is a word for us as a body. What kind of church will we be known as in the community? Will we be known as a church that boasts in itself? In how solid our doctrine is, about how faithful our worship is, about how reformed our confession is, how disciplined our lives are? All of those things may be good, but if they become our boast, then they become our downfall. Or will we be known as a humble church? A church that confesses our sin, that clings to the word of God and boasts only in Christ. A church that does not repeal the broken with self-righteousness, but welcomes them with the grace of Christ. The church is not meant to be a museum for saints, where we display our polished lives like artifacts behind glass. No. It is a hospital for sinners, where the great physician heals the broken, restores the weary, and raises the dead to life. This is the witness of humility. This is the calling of Christ. This is the repentance to which we are summoned. So tonight, whether you have been boastful or whether you are broken, the invitation is the same. Repent and return to Christ. Glory not in yourself, but in Him. We have walked tonight through a sobering but necessary path. We've seen the danger of boastfulness, how pride blinds us and robs God of His glory, while breeding hypocrisy within us. We've seen the witness of true humility, displayed perfectly in Christ, produced by the Spirit and shining through the church. And we've heard the call to repentance, for the boastful to lay down their pride, for the broken to cling to Christ, and for the church to be a humble witness to the world. Let me leave you tonight with this thought. Boasting is the most foolish thing a Christian can do, because everything we have has been given to us. Paul asked in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive?" Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Think about that. If everything is a gift, then boasting is nothing more than trying to take credit for someone else's generosity. It's like a beggar bragging about the bread he's holding, forgetting that someone placed it in his hand. But the freedom of humility, to stop pretending, to stop performing, to stop comparing ourselves to others, and to simply say, "I'm a sinner. Christ is my Savior. My boast is not in me, but in Him." That is when the chains fall off. That is when joy floods in. That is when the Christian life becomes a fountain and not a burden. Galatians 6, verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The only safe boast is the cross, because the cross tells truth. It tells us we are sinners deserving of death. And at the same time, it tells us Christ is the Savior who died in our place. You see, at the cross, boasting dies and grace reigns. There's an old hymn written in 1834, by Edward Mote, called "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." And it puts this so well. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus's name." I tell you, this is the heart of humility, and it is the confession of every true believer. No trust in self, no boasting in works, only leaning wholly on Jesus' name. So tonight, what will you do? If you've been boasting about your Christianity, I encourage you to repent. Lay it down. Confess it before the Lord. If you've been broken and weary, rest. Christ has come for you, and His grace is sufficient. And as a church, let us covenant together that our only boast will be in Christ, our only glory in His cross, and our only confidence in His word. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, pride is a thief and boasting is a liar, but humility is the path of life. So I encourage us, let us walk humbly with God. Let us glory in knowing Him. Let us be a people who says with Jeremiah, "Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." And may it be said that we were not the most boastful, but that we are the most Christ-centered and the most humble, the most faithful to His word. Let us pray. Father, we confess that pride still lurks in our hearts, and we ask that You forgive us for the times that we have boasted in ourselves rather than in You. Humble us, Lord. Humble us at the foot of the cross and teach us to glory only in Christ. We ask that You strengthen the broken and convict the boastful and unite us all in Your mercy. May only Your boast be in Jesus, His blood, His cross, and His resurrection. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us this evening for our Wednesday evening service. I pray that this message has touched you and penetrated to your heart, and that you received something inspirational from it. Be sure to join us next week, and until then, God bless.
We hope you have enjoyed this Wednesday evening sermon from Redeemed in Faith Reformed Church. We pray that God's word has spoken to your heart and drawn you closer to Christ. To learn more about our ministry, search for us on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, or visit our blog at calvaryherald.org or our website, redeemedinfaith.org. Explore more of our messages to help you walk faithfully with the Lord. Until we meet again, may His grace, mercy, and peace be with you.